Episode 13, podcast number 13 of the Insane Ramblings of Crazy Old Men, where Ray and Mike talk about the coronavirus, the House of Lords, and regional accents.
My corona. What's the day today?
It's Friday, the 6th of March.
Friday?
Yeah.
Fish day.
Fish day for the Catholics, yeah.
Yes.
Is that what you mean? I don't know whether that's an ongoing thing.
Well, it must be, but have you heard the latest news in the Vatican? Somebody's come down with the coronavirus.
Oh.
The Vatican's in shutdown. It must be a message from God.
Could be, yeah.
It must be. Talking about messages from God.
Yeah.
Did you see this thing about the plague of locusts?
The plague of locusts, yes, I did.
To my knowledge, this is the first real biggie since biblical times. Apparently, it started off in Kenya. 2,000 of them. One locust every 3 months can produce 30 offspring. Obviously, by now, it's huge. And it's been moving across East Africa. And a square kilometre of locusts can eat in a day the equivalent of 35,000 people, what they would eat. And obviously, these are poor parts of Africa, so the impact is massive. But the humorous part is...
Please tell us what planned to sort out these locusts.
Well, help is at hand.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, but help is at hand to Pakistan, which geography at school wasn't my best subject. I thought it was quite away from Sudan, but there we go. Anyway, the Chinese government have offered to send 100,000 ducks to Pakistan. You're saying, aha, why ducks?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all.
It could be that the Pakistanis have got a real taste for crispy duck.
I've heard that one duck can eat more than 200 locusts in a day. That's a lot of locusts.
That's absolutely right. And obviously it's better than using chemicals to kill these locusts. The drawback I can see is quite a bit of Pakistan is desert. And don't ducks need water? So they're going to send these ducks over from China, obviously with the virus. They're going to wipe out the locusts but introduce the virus to Pakistan.
There's also going to be an awful lot of duck poo.
Mind you, that might be good for the soil.
It might be, yeah.
So I think this plan is absolute quackers. House of Lords. Interesting article in the Sunday Times the other week.
Mm.
And it was also suggested by one of our three listeners. Now, the House of Lords, it's obviously unelected and it's got more than 800 members. They only sit for 161 days a year. Now, my days at Searle, I can remember doing the maths. When you take out the weekends and the bank holidays, there's about 235 working days in a year. So these guys are only working for two-thirds of the time.
Do they have to sit?
Well, no. What?
Or can they stand?
They can even kneel, especially because there's loads of bishops in there. But what you have to do is you sign in, then you can disappear.
Yeah, I heard this.
So nobody checks. And for doing that, for the signing in, you get £313 a day. Okay, now when you think the average weekly UK earning is £544 a week, so in 2 days they're getting more than the average worker in Britain.
They are lords though.
On top of that, they've just voted themselves a 3.1% pay rise when the UK inflation rate is 1.8%.
They can elect to receive a reduced attendance allowance of £150. So I wonder how many of them
That's only £750 a week. Last year, the average tax-free expenses were £31,000. When you think the average UK salary is 28 grand a year. Now, 110 of them made no spoken or written contribution in a year, but those 110 between them claimed £1 million in expenses. Top of the pops, there's a former Labour minister who claimed £79,000.
My God.
It's absolutely appalling. One of them, an 89-year-old businessman with a family fortune of £2 billion, claimed almost £48,000 expenses. It just goes on, isn't it? But it's not just, it's across all parties, obviously.
This particular guy is a former trade union general secretary, David Brookman. He never took part in a single debate. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that this former trade union general secretary didn't take part in any debates and claimed so many allowances. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just merely putting it out there.
Well, a former First Minister of Scotland, who you'd think would be used to austerity, he claimed almost £69,000 a year. But obviously quite a bit of that is airfare if you're flying down every day from Scotland or whatever. But I just think the whole thing is a travesty, isn't it? I mean, why do we need 800? I would have thought an elected Senate, like they have in the States, of 101 people, you need an odd number in case there's any voting. You know, that would suffice and cut those expenses back.
Well, you might remember a guy called Cyril Smith. Do you remember Cyril Smith?
Wasn't he a Liberal MP up at somewhere near Manchester?
Rochdale, I think it was.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Apparently he was doing naughty things and David Steele knew about them. And this guy, who says he was abused by Mr. Smith as an 11-year-old kid, says that Lord Steele, who's now 81, knew about it but swept it under the carpet because obviously it wouldn't look too good for their election capabilities.
In some ways, it's a bit sorry because Big Cyril has passed away, so these people can't get their vengeance on him. And maybe little David, if you remember Spitting Image, little David is somewhat of a scapegoat.
Yeah, I think he is. He said, I'm told that others are threatening to resign if a new investigation is started. And because he doesn't want to have any turmoil in his party and to prevent further distress to his family, he said he's resigning. And he also said, knowing all I know now, I condemn Cyril Smith's action towards children. Not having secured a parliamentary scalp, I fear that I've been made a proxy for Cyril Smith, which I'm sure is true.
The one I liked was Paddy Ashdown.
Ex-SAS.
Yeah, I think he was a hero.
He was a hero. He was in the Royal Marines.
Renowned for his sexual exploits. He had a Labrador. I mean, what more do you want? Mm. Maybe it should be you, because you've got a buster.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it should.
Could you become a Liberal Democrat?
Yes, I think anyone could become a Liberal Democrat, couldn't they? I mean, it's fairly easy. Who wants to be a Liberal Democrat? That's more to the point.
Yeah, Raymond is a subject close to your heart, and I know you're quite an expert on this. Accents.
You're right.
That's right. It was prompted by an article that said that in the BBC News, up until recently, and also ITV, on the main bits, not the local bits, you only got people with nice home counties accents. Oh, good evening. Here's the 6 o'clock news. Here's the weather. The first person to sort of break through this was that wonderful Hugh Edwards, who came from Bridgend and had a lovely Welsh accent. And it got me thinking, and apparently there are 56 different types of recognised accents
who
in the British Isles.
Who counts this? How does this happen?
God knows. Well, I wonder what makes an accent. And if you think about it, in the big movies, the Hollywood movies, the Pinewood movies, big things like Cleopatra, all the Romans spoke nicely with home counties accents. And it only really changed, you know, relatively recently, probably into the 60s, because up until then, even working class films, they all spoke with this nice accent. Oh, yes, I've got to go down the chippy and all this sort of stuff. And the first one that I remember was a film called Kez.
Yeah.
Which were way up north, which had real lads and lasses with proper accents. You know, that young lad that had the kestrel, that fantastic school teacher running onto the pitch pretending he was playing for Manchester United. Films like that started to creep in.
Well, don't forget you got My Fair Lady, haven't you, with Audrey Hepburn?
Yeah, but she was regarded
you
as...
You know, Professor Higgins... Sorry, that's a Birmingham... Sorry, let me try that again.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins, just you wait. But she was regarded as an oddity that had to be corrected,
yes,
if you remember.
That is true.
But more recently, the one that springs to mind is Peaky Blinders.
Right.
You know, how that's really popularised the Brummie accent.
It has. Apparently, the Brummie accent was voted the worst accent in Britain at one point, and it's considered the least sexy accent.
But that's changed, hasn't it?
Apparently, it's changed a lot. That's right. Since Cillian Murphy came in and got us all speaking with a Brummie accent and wearing a hat.
I mean, my experience of it was, I've always loved the Brummie accent, but several years ago, I had to go out with this young lady to Duglai Hospital. The amazing thing was, at lunchtime in the canteen, because I always used to like to have a roast when I was out in these canteens, this lovely roast with all the trimmings, which I obviously had. And as I move along, this lovely local lady says to me, she says, "Hello, my love. Would you like pies with that?" And I said, "No, thank you. I've got the roast beef and the Yorkshire pudding." And she said, "No, would you like pies?" I said, "Well, I have gravy, but, you know, I've got this roast beef." And then she pointed, and I realised when she said pies, what she actually meant was peas. But she was speaking Duglai. So I had pies with me roast beef, and it was really nice. And that was my experience of the super Dudley accent.
Talking about accents, I remember when I went to Ireland, I was trying to make my way up this mountain, and I couldn't figure out the way there. And I stopped, and there's this guy, and he was sitting outside his little stone cottage on a stool, this old guy. And I wound down the window, and I asked him what route there was to the top of the mountain. And I remember he said something like, "You got us that." I couldn't understand a word he said, but he was pointing to the left. There's a little track up to the left. So I said, "Thank you very much." And went up to the left, and I kept going for what appeared to be miles and miles and miles. And then all of a sudden, I passed this little stone cottage with this guy sitting outside. I think he was smoking a pipe. It's the same guy. And I stopped, and I said, "I've tried going that way." He says, And I noticed when he was pointing, he had an arthritic finger that was just skewed to the left, and he was actually pointing straight ahead.
I think the Irish have got the most fantastic accents of all. I love ladies that have got certain Scottish accents. I think they're very nice. But I think the most beautiful are Irish accents. And I saw a thing on the internet the other day of this young lady talking about different Irish accents. She said that you can recognise about 20 different accents.
I know when I go up to Birmingham, well, I can tell whereabouts they're from. Whether they're outside of Birmingham, somewhere like Dudley, a lot of people wouldn't know the difference between Birmingham accent and a Dudley accent. And even places within Birmingham, whether it's Moseley, whether it's Alum Rock.
Well, that's what this girl was saying. She said you can just listen to someone. She says, obviously, Belfast people, some up there have got a really strong accent, like Paisley had. Others have got a softer accent. People from Cork or Kerry men, Dubliners. You know, it's fantastic. I love the whole thing. It's not just the accent with the Irish, though. It's some of the phrases. If you remember in Father Ted, instead of swearing, they'd say the word feck.
Yeah.
I think that is beautiful. My favourite Irishism is when they say, "Is it yourself?" Which I think is a wonderful phrase, because who else would it be? Is it yourself now?
I think that's a reflexive tense. Yeah.
Other places have got well-known accents for phrases. So if you're up north and you're in a pub and you hear the cry, "Bruns or runjaka," you know, that means browns for everyone, barman.
Browns?
Brown ale. Newky brown.
Oh, okay.
So bruns or runjaka. And they also have other phrases like, if it's a posh woman that thinks she's above herself, "Ul fa coot and ni niggas." You know, there's some wonderful...
You've got a gift for these accents.
I think they're fantastic. And I think both Britain and Ireland need to be congratulated on maintaining these wonderful accents.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, give us your views on any of our podcasts or anything at all, please get hold of us on iracompodcast@gmail.com. That's Iracom, Sane Ramblings of Crazy Old Men, podcast@gmail.com. We've also got a Facebook page, Insane Ramblings of Crazy Old Men. So it would be great to see you on there as well.